Let's listen to Danny Lakey and turn it up to the ceiling. Everything could go so wrong, but you'll be so happy. It's Danny Lakey, yeah. It's Danny
right across Lakey. Australia, this is the Danny Lakey, Lakey Show. Yeah.
It's Danny Lakey.
Well, the more answers the man who lived inside a whale's mouth for 40 seconds answers, the more questions it raises. I've got more questions about the man who had refuge for 40 seconds in a whale's mouth. We talked about the man and the whale and the mouth, of course, in this podcast. Also, there was a man who drank a sock. They figure out what type of sock I think it is in the podcast. There are some certain foods that have claimed tastiness without our permission. Find out in the podcast. First things first in the podcast. A little tidbit of information today where I've slightly doubted how much my parents love me. As a child, after thinking that your upbringing was quite normal, quite par, quite standard for the course, realising that, oh no, this was something unique to my childhood. After a vigorous discussion earlier on today with Boss Dan and producer Mick about an article where a travel expert has suggested who gets the middle armrests in the middle seat on an aeroplane, it then sprawled into a discussion about the middle seat in a family vehicle. I'm talking your five doors, your five seats, your sedans, your wagons, etc. And probably back in the 80s, 90s and early noughties, where families of five had a very important and crucial decision to make and delegate one of the children to the sketchy middle seatbelt zone on long family road trips. And I always assumed that it was the eldest who got the middle seatbelt. It was the sketchiest seatbelt, so you needed the oldest child to make sure that he could feel... The more I'm saying it now, the more ridiculous it seems. But this is how I was conditioned. The oldest child had to sit in the middle, leaving the younger ones with the safer over-the-shoulder seatbelts. Remember the ones back in the day in like a Toyota Camry, the middle seatbelt was the draper across the pelvic area. These days, brand new car, just five identical over-the-shoulder seatbelts. But back in the day where most Dodgem cars at the Easter Showground had a higher quality seatbelt than the middle one, this is the time that we're talking about. I had two brothers. We were a family of five. It was obviously dad driving, mum in the passenger seat, my two younger brothers on either sides. Once they were old enough, of course, to graduate from booster seats and the child car system things, it was always, oh, yeah, no, Danny, you're in the middle. Yeah, go on. No, you're no oldest, tallest in the middle. And I bring this up at the meeting today. And producer Mick and boss Dan looked at me and said, no. That's not how the middle seatbelt code's supposed to go.
No, not at all.
So what was it in your upbringing?
So I'm one of four, so it was always the youngest or the shortest in the middle because you got the shorter legs. We're all really tall, so it was a fight of that.
Well, to be honest now, with all my wisdom as a 31-year-old, it makes a lot more sense because a lot of cars back in the day had that weird hump in the middle as well, the Toyota Camry camel hump. And I always thought it was a bit bizarre as well that I had to put one of my legs on one side of the car and one on the other. And if my brothers wanted to put their legs there and sprawl out, then I had to put mine just on the hump. And it was almost like a little jockey riding a horse down the highway. And now all of a sudden I'm thinking, no, hang on. This wasn't the rule that eldest had to go in the middle. I'm thinking my parents more just followed the rule of age plus height divided by which family member would phase us the least should they suffer horrific injuries to the pelvic area. And on 13353.
Jump in my car.
What's the middle seat policy? Maybe you're a family of five. Maybe you're a little whippersnapper back in the day. Did you experience the middle seat belt? Where did you fit into the family dynamic? Or were you one of the people who got one of the privileged window seats? And why was the family member getting the middle seat belt? Maybe you're a parent these days with three children or maybe two children and one on the way. What is your plan? How will you determine who gets the middle seat belt policy? Because I'm wrapping a lot tonight. I've got questions to ask my family. I'll do that over the weekend, not in business hours. Fiona in New South Wales. Hello.
Hi, how are you going?
Well, you sound like you're in the car right now. You're very much within arm's length of the middle seatbelt.
Yes, on my way home.
Yeah, sometimes I know the listener better than the listener knows themselves. What was the middle seatbelt policy?
Well, whoever didn't throw up got to sit in the middle.
Okay.
So I was a baby of three. And my brother and I always used to throw up, so we used to get the windows and my sister got the middle.
I see. Prone to vomit, you are automatically designated the window so that you won't dirty the car, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. It's almost counterproductive because I was also led to believe, and maybe this is a lie as well, prove me wrong, But the best thing for car sickness is to stare at the vista ahead of you. So it would almost be the best place to sit if you were potentially car sick, is to have the view of the middle seat, but the access to the window.
Not in our car. My mother smoked, and the ashtray was in the, you know, behind the bench seat in the middle, where the middle child sat. So, no, we were definitely throwing up, and she was always putting the cigarettes in the ashtray in the back seat.
What a fascinating ambiance of growing up in the 80s and 90s in the back seats. I would be a child back then. Yeah, I do remember those little ashtrays in the cars. They phased them out quick, didn't they? Katrina in Brackenridge, hello.
Hello.
Hello. I am now bringing back all sorts of memories of that weird little middle seatbelt compartment. Sometimes it had a little bit of air conditioning that you could tweak out the back. That was probably the only positive to sitting in the middle. You could keep quite cold ankles for the duration of the trip if you wanted it. So what was the middle seatbelt policy in your household?
Oh, my gran was a widow who couldn't drive, and so she went everywhere with us, and so I was always in the middle, so gran could have a window seat.
I see. And who was the other person that had the other window seat?
My brother got the other side, but I think it was, again, the oldest rule, so I got the given the middle.
The oldest. So he was older than you?
No. So I got them in the middle because I was the oldest and he was the younger one, sorry.
All of a sudden,
there you go.
Well, we've got similar upbringings then.
Yes. And I can reiterate about having only the lap belt, because I remember once my dad lost control and spun out.
Yeah.
And I felt like, you know, you're going to chop in two because you're holding on to that lap belt for dear life.
I know. It's ridiculous. And I don't know why it took so long for car manufacturing companies to finally give way. We've showed that we can do an over-the-shoulder safe seatbelt in the back. Maybe it's time to give the final third of the back passengers the safety that they deserve.
Exactly. I remember that. Going, oh, my God.
There's a lot of questions that need answering. We're understanding that. Jackie in Chadston, what was the middle seatbelt policy?
It was the middle child gets the middle seat because any way they put it, the logic said big, middle, small, or small, middle, big. So middle child has to suffer the middle seat for eternity.
And it is a cross that the middle child has to bear. I also agree with that. I think
it was not fun, and they had a sister on each side elbowing me and fighting.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate because when you're in the middle as well, you don't get any of the joy or the pain of the classic game corners. When you go around the corner, it's the middle seatbelties that decide it. Me often in the middle getting squished from all angles. I've labelled it as the backseat spit roastee. With no real choice to change dynamics or directions of the corners game.
Yeah. At any time. And it's definitely a disadvantage when you're playing car games on a long trip because you can't see outside window as well.
I was very uncreative with my eye spies with my little eyes. I was like, all I spy is this bloody middle seat compartment and this shitty seatbelt. I don't know what's in the outside world. Tell me about it. Describe the view to me, guys. Matt in Mornington, what was the middle seatbelt policy?
G'day, Danny. First time caller, long time listener, mate. We're meant to have our third child, and in this case, we're going to make it our youngest child's going to have the middle seat and the oldest child's going to have the outer seat.
Great. Yeah, more parents need to be like you. More specifically, my parents need to be more like you. Now, obviously, there's a teething process. There's a transition phase. You'll, of course, have to put them in one of those weird child seats, and then they'll probably move on to a booster. Will this always be the middle thing, or will they have the window for a certain period of their juvenileness? And then move in around the toddler phase.
Well, I reckon because the baby's going to have the outer seat. So I reckon they're going to be in there for about 4 years. So the oldest, the middle child's doesn't need the booster seat. So he can sit there just comfortably, I reckon.
Yeah,
so.
Good strategy. You've got to map all this out. You can't just have a baby one day and think, oh, shit, what are we going to do? Because I think my parents panicked in this situation. I don't think they saw it through. I think they did their prenatal classes. There's no doubt about it. But I don't think the prenatal teacher was asking everyone, hey, do you have older children already? Will the third sibling or the first sibling need to sit in the middle? Let's wrap this up, Chris in Peakhurst. What was the theory? What was the rules?
I was the youngest. I got the middle, and we didn't even have seatbelts.
Are you back in the, when was this, 60s, 70s? When was the middle seatbelt even introduced?
Middle
the back 60s. Of the Mid-60s. Those were the days. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, I genuinely think I would have been more comfortable if there was no middle seatbelt and not that weird mini compartment between driver and passenger seats blocking my way. It always had a tape measure, some chewing gum, and a Natalie Imbruglia cassette contained in it.
The Danny Lakey Show Catch-Up Podcast.
Holding a certain word to account. We're all very happy that Smith's has confirmed the beloved Tasty Tubes will return to shelves in the coming months. The emerged rumour online has been confirmed by Smith's. The Wild Whispers, the humble tubular tomato-flavoured snack back on the shelves in a couple of months' time. Tasty Tubes, very tasty, very tubular. They say what they are, and you can't knock them for that. They stock tubes of taste. They've called them Tasty Tubes. I have no issue. I take no umbrage with the words Tasty Tubes. They're the original Tasty. It is important, though, that we hold Tasty Foods to account. And I've noticed, after a humble Coles online shopping search, that there's a whole heap of foods that are claiming to be tasty now. Now, I've been searching coles.com.au in the online shopping section, just typing in the keyword tasty, to just see how far this taste train goes to. And it seems like it's stopping all stations. And I'm not sure whether all these foods have earned the trust and respect of the consumer to call themselves tasty. Of course, Tasty Tubes, we're all aware of Tasty Cheese, which is not only an adjective to describe how the cheese tastes, but is also a certain breed of cheese. You've got your Bega Tasty Cheese, your Mainland Tasty, King Island Dairy does a tasty brand. We know this. South Cape Tasty Cheddar, Mersey Valley Tasty Cheddar, Cheers Tasty, Coles Tasty Shredded Cheddar Cheese, all tasty cheeses. And to be honest, I agree, they are quite tasty.
Tasty.
So that's fine. Of course, you've got the follow-ons then, the linchpins, as I like to call them, which are the cheese and cracker combinations, the Sarkatar Extra Tasty Cheddar Cheese Rice Crackers. To be honest, I did try them earlier today. They're quite tasty.
Tasty.
We've got the Real Foods Tasty Cheese Corn Thins.
Tasty.
They were tasty, but that's probably as far as I would go, apart from obviously including the CC's Tasty Cheese variety.
Tasty.
This is all in the cheese echelon. Fair enough. It starts getting a little sketchy in the chicken salt, where there is a brand called Nice and Tasty who sell chicken salt. But they've weaseled their brand into such a way that it just sounds like you're buying some Nice and Tasty chicken salt.
Tasty.
We also need to keep an eye on the Continental cup of soup ranges. They've got a Continental Tasty Tomato cup of soup, which I think is starting to push it a little.
Tasty.
Of course, Continental, knowing the success they've had with the Tasty Tomato cup of soups, have moved into more processed meals. I couldn't help but notice on the search Continental Naturally Tasty Spaghetti Bolognese, which is very bizarre because the Naturally Tasty is a processed meal. Very suspicious in the world of tastiness.
Tasty.
While we're on the topic of Continental, I definitely don't condone the Continental Naturally Tasty Beef Stroganoff mixing sauce. That, in my opinion, wasn't very tasty at all. There is another brand that is getting away with murder, with Tasty being the brand, but spelling it T-A-S-T-I. It looks different, but it sounds the same. I'm, of course, referring to the Tasty Nutty Choc Protein Bar. You're on watch, but to be fair, it was quite tasty.
Tasty.
Into the frozen food section, I&J. I&J Frozen Tasty Crumbed Calamari Rings.
Tasty.
Pet foods, Per Tasty Tuna Cat Food.
Tasty.
Total Care Tasty All Wormer Treatment for Dogs.
Tasty.
And I'm not sure what this next one is because it was in the vegan section. Nutrisoy Organic Tasty Tempeh?
Tempeh.
Tempeh? What's that?
It's fermented soybeans. It's like the cousin of tofu. Tasty.
No, I don't think. I think I'd rather have the Total Care Tasty All Wormer Treatment for Dogs, to be honest.
Tasty.
Man drinks blended sock after losing a bet.
The mouth is for eating, not for sex.
Yeah, well, for once I agree, because the mouth is definitely not for drinking blended socks. And I like the journalism here. They have put in inverted commas, drink blended socks, because it's very hard, even if you blend it, even if you've got one of the top of the range $3,000 Nutribullet, it's very tough to drink the sock in question. A man decided to drink a blending sock as part of a bet. The Reddit user told others on the site that he would be willing to blend his own sock and down it. Clearly a man of his word. Reddit user just there to post and com. That's his username. Did just that. Think he was commenting on some crypto stuff. the volatility of a certain cryptocurrency token, saying, oh, if it gets above this amount, I'll drink a sock. I'll blend a sock. And lo and behold, it did get above that price. And man to his word, he made a full-on video. It's not a fake. You can see it in live time. He's blended up the sock. He's done all sorts to it. He's cut up half a sock and even prepped some frozen banana slices in there as well. You've got to. You're going to have some decent foods that can blend up to get all of the sock down. The sock in question, I'm going to go with the Bonds. It looks like slightly more than an ankle sock. A sock, like a white sock that a dad would wear with his brand new pair of New Balances on a Sunday if he's got to umpire the cricket for his 12-year-old son down Elizabeth Reserve. That kind of sock. He then throws it all in the blender together, creating a slushy sock concoction and gets drinking. Of course, you can't liquidise a sock, so there's a fair bit of eating involved too. Well, I don't know if you can eat the sock either. I think it's more like you've just got to swallow bits of sock. That appears to be what he's doing, because there's not much chewing going on. Many other Redditors were concerned about the well-being of the guy, with some voicing their worries about his health. One of the mods, oh, you know it's serious when the mods get involved on Reddit, said, guys, humans are not able to digest socks. If, God forbid, the sock fibres get stuck in OP's digestive tract, original posters, direct digestive tract, it could cause a serious blockage and even potentially lead to death. Thanks, mod. Cheers for that one, mod. That's why you're the mod. They told the sock drinker, please seek medical attention immediately, even if it's just to call your doctor or a hotline tomorrow to let them know what you did and what signs and symptoms to look out for. Look, you can't drink socks. There's no doubt about it. The Danny Lakey Show has got some controversial opinions on this, but we draw the line at drinking socks, which surprises me because apparently Boost Juice have a new sock range out.
Hey, welcome to Boost Juice.
Oh, hi. Can I please get one of your new strawberry and ankle sock smoothies? Thanks.
Yep. Original size?
Yes. And one medium mango tangled tights crush, please.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, and could I add a headband and a pair of undies to that one as well? And no ice.
Yeah, no ice.
Those undies, they've been worn by a woman, right? Definitely not a bloke.
Yep. All our undies are previously owned by women, so...
Right, yeah. It's just I get an allergic reaction if there are traces of nuts.
Oh, that's gross. Okay, $15.95.
Right, there you go.
The diver that got caught in a whale's mouth and lived to tell the tale spills all on Reddit. Good. So he should. We want to hear from him. He's taken the world by storm over the last couple of days. Word spread very fast that a man was almost swallowed by a whale. He's experienced the thrill of being in the whale's mouth for a good 30 or 40 seconds. This is nature's ultimate thrill ride. With his son's help, 56-year-old Michael Packard, recently hopped on an Ask Me Anything session and answered all the burning questions about his unique experience. Packard, of course, was diving off the shore of Provincetown in Massachusetts to check one of his lobster traps last Friday. He was 45 feet below the water when the world around him went dark. All of a sudden, I felt this huge shove, and the next thing I knew, it was completely black, he told the news outlet Cape Cod Times. Oh, I know the Times well. At first, I thought it might be a shark, but due to the lack of teeth and the size of it, I soon realised that I was in a whale, Packard said. I don't know if I'd connect the dots if I was in the whale's mouth until much after. In hindsight, retrospect, perhaps, I'd be like, oh, yeah. That whale swam past. Things did go black for about 40 seconds. I'm pretty sure I know what just happened. But mid-mouth, I don't think I could draw the same conclusions. It's really impressive by the 56-year-old lobster trapsman. In the Reddit Ask Me Anything, Packard said he was completely inside the whale's mouth. His last thoughts were his wife and kids. My head was just spinning, he said. I could feel the whale swimming around. I was just thinking that there was almost no way out of this. One of the Reddit users asked him if the whale's tongue was smooth like a dog. Or rough like a cat? These are the questions that we want answers for, Packard. Can I please have the texture and consistency of the whale's tongue? The only thing better than a Reddit Ask Me Anything with this kind of stuff is if he did a live press conference and these journalists were the same ones. All right. Any questions to the man's miraculous tale of survival? Yes. The tongue. What do you know about this? He said that he couldn't tell at the time because he was engorged in a wetsuit. So I would like to think that it's soft like a dog. The whale's tongue. Very, very underwhelming if it's rough like a cat, I think. One of the great disappointments of nature, if it turns out to be the case. Another person asked, though, and this is the one that I like. They just asked, are you pissed off that you weren't wearing a GoPro? Oh! Right for the jugular. And the more I thought about this, the more I thought, yeah, I bet he would be. I mean, a chance like this doesn't come on very often. And things go viral these days, and it can mean big money. It can be big cash. It can mean big attention. This is a man who's got a lot of attention for his story, and we'll have to take his word for it. But he can only paint enough of a picture with his words, for my mind. I want to see some visual evidence. Had he been wearing the GoPro? Had he have caught this on camera? Maybe even his mate, who was out on the lobster fisherman trawler a couple of metres away. Had they been filming at the time, this would have gone next level. And we'd have audio to play. We'd have visual. It would be the world's most viewed video right away. Charlie Bit My Finger would have nothing on Whale Swallows Man with his soft, silky tongue. And on 133353, I bet he is pissed off that he didn't get this on film. And look, it wouldn't be the first time, and it won't be the last for this to happen. Should have got it on
film. Oh, I wish I got that on film.
Should have got it on film.
Oh, I should have got that on film.
133353, what should you have got on film? What do you wish you got on film? Something crazy that happened. He said, oh, did anyone get that? Was anyone filming then? Is anyone doing a TikTok? Jonathan, were you mid-tick over there? Nah. And then it's gone. That moment is gone forever. You could have gone viral. You could have had clout. You could have made some money off it. You could have profited, made it into a non-fungible token. There are times out there where amazing things happen, but the camera hasn't caught it. 133353, what should you have got on film? The most amazing thing that you've only got your words to describe for. It was a great little prank that we played back on my friend Dylan in the summer of 2013 on a Thailand holiday in Phuket, where there were two tennis balls in the pool and a rotten apple just on the side of the pool. And it was about dusk time, so it was slightly poor visibility. But Dylan was a South African, and we knew that he loved rugby and cricket. So we came up with a genius idea that we would chuck the first tennis ball at Dylan. We'd give him a challenge. He was about 30 metres away. I was like, oi, Dylan, catch this tennis ball. See if you can catch this, mate. Threw the first tennis ball. He passes with flying colours. Catch this one. Second tennis ball comes through, passes with flying colours. Unbeknownst to him, but known to everyone else, we then had the mouldy apple that we were throwing as the third one. He's caught that and it's gone everywhere, all over him. Classic. And we all sort of looked around after and said, we've just missed a golden opportunity, a magical moment for one of the great TikToks. I mean, TikTok was about 7 years away from being invented, so we didn't quite think that at the time, but it would have made a great MySpace video. 133353, what do you wish you got on film? Oh, hang on a second, wait, breaking whale news.
Bend your backs and roll me, lads, and take me to me whale. Tonight we sing and dance, and tomorrow night we sail.
Brad, in New South Wales, you got an update on the whale?
Yeah, Danny, I just thought I'd let you know that it was a humpback whale, and they don't have tongues, they're baleen whales.
No. My world was a shinier place when I imagined it did have a silky tongue.
Well, that's unlucky. But I've also got something that I should have caught on film.
Oh, great. Double whammy.
About 20 years ago, I was driving from Moree to Gundawindi, and I swear I seen a thylacine run across the road and run parallel with the car for about 50 metres, so I got a real good look at it.
What's a thylacine?
A Tasmanian tiger.
Oh, yes, you should have got that on film.
And that was in northern New South Wales.
Wow. You're saying the thylacine has got to the mainland?
They came down from the mainland originally. They come from Urianjaya in the first place.
Oh, I wish you did get it on film, because that would have been rather juicy.
I wished I did too, mate.
Yeah, no, I wish I didn't know that bit about the whale stuff, because I was imagining silky tongues. Silky tongues for all whale breeds, all whale species. And you'd hope, and this is, yeah. And I don't agree with the Japanese whaling system, but you just hope any whales that are getting harpooned with tongues, the tongues are being used to the maximum ability as well. Silk satin ball gowns. Use the silkiness of the whale's tongue to your advantage. Damien in Melbourne, hello.
Danny, how are you, legend?
Yeah, not too bad. Just moving through the calls, experiencing the highs and lows of imagining hypothetical whale tongues and asking the question, what do you wish you got on film, Damien?
A couple of years ago, mum come running in the house with the shopping.
Oh, yeah.
Started singing. I could hear someone singing.
Oh, yeah.
Bang, tripped over.
Oh, come on, mum. Easy. One thing at a time,
and she
mum.
Had all the goods. She had all the goods. Had the milk, the bread.
All your basic goods.
Lollies.
Well, lollies are all right. They're not gonna go
everywhere. What's your favourite lolly, Danny, quickly?
Red frogs. Nah, cherry lips. I can't lie to you, mate. Can't lie. Cherry Lips.
I love them as well.
Yeah. Ronnie, in Queensland, hello.
Hey, Danny, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. I mean, there's a lot going on. We're experiencing the ups and downs of Whale Tongue Hypothetical. We're learning a lot about Damien's mum's shopping list. Even more to the point, Damien's favourite confectionery, and mine. What do you wish you got on film?
Years ago, not me, but loves a scrum. She had a dog down there in Canberra.
Hang on a second. Are you loves the scrum Cindy's husband?
Yeah, I'm the scrum.
Oh, you're the scrum! Good. Yeah. Continue, scrum.
Anyway, she had this dog down there, and we had a friend over and having a few drinks, and we're out the back, and her dog was doing something to a toy that dogs love to do sometimes. Yep, that's it. Anyway, the dog got off the toy, and the Sheila started laughing that was there with us because it was a Garfield cat. And it got even funnier because she noticed the cat was wearing a singlet that said, "Don't ask."
Ah, nice. I like that. Because, I mean, occasionally a dog will make love to a slipper or just spunk all over the couch. You're like, oh, for God's sake, control yourself, dog. The second that you add a cat into the mix with a funny T-shirt on it, cartoon characters, you're right.
Something you should have got on the film.
Well, you would have filmed it. It would have gone viral. You would have obviously had to blur out the dog's red rocket, of course. Not appropriate for YouTube audiences, but there's something in it, no doubt. Andy in Victoria, wrap this up on 133353. What do you wish you got on film?
Well, there's probably plenty of things I wish I had got, but years ago...
Are you talking about some of Andy's famous lovemaking sessions? Is that what you're alluding to there?
Well, I've got a couple of them on film, actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You throwing in your best performance, engorged nipples, all sorts of angles. Yeah.
You love it.
I know.
But I got sick of trying to teach my fiancé to drive, so I paid for a driving lesson for her years ago.
Nice.
And this is one of many things. The first thing that popped in my head was this story.
Oh, yeah.
So I took the kids for a walk on the pier in the pram while she was getting her driving lessons. And there's about 20 guys down there all raving on about how someone climbed the light pole and did a backflip off the end of it one day. And I said, I could do that with my hands behind my back. And they said, go on. I said, mate, my kids are in the pram. I'm going to have to wait till my fiance comes down and watches them, so I can't just do it while they're there by himself. So she turned up. I climbed this pole on the end of Frankston Pier. If you ever go there, you'll see it.
Excuse me, I know the pier well.
And got to the top of this pole, which wasn't easy to climb. It's not much bigger than probably two or three packs of cigarettes, the little plate on the top of the pole, because there's no light there anymore.
Yeah.
Everyone cheering down the bottom. I've gone to do a backflip, but as I did it, the pole actually bent away from me. Oh. I've done me backflip, but as I come down, the pole's flexed back and caught me by the shorts, so I'm dangling by the shorts on the end of this pole. Shorts have ripped clean off. I've ended up having to do a bit of a swan dive down, and I've probably missed the edges of the pier by millimetres. Like, I had to straighten out that much. Got back up. Everyone's cheered. My fiancée said, you're an idiot. And, that's the first story that popped in my head out of all the ones I should have got on film, but there's probably millions I could have.
Well, I'd love to hear all those millions, but we've got to play the outro to the podcast, and unless all million stories can fit with in another 6 seconds. Unfortunately, we've ran out of time. Sorry about that. Sorry. Daddy Likey. Triple M.